take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 7. I want to try and continue from last week. Let's see. And let's read. Well, just for a starting place, I'm just going to read verse 6. I read the rest of it last week, beginning part. This is the words of Christ. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, last week I went into this, basically that hypocrites was an insult. Christ called these people names because of what they were doing. They were fussing at him because he let his disciples eat with unwashed hands. Because according to their tradition, that was a no-no. And Christ got upset with them and said, "Isaiah prophesied to you guys." Isaiah said something about these men that was not good. "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We have lip service, is what it's called today. And we're surrounded by it still. "Because they lay aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." That's verse 8. Then I went into what Paul stated, that the end of the commandment is love. And then I went into Mark chapter 12, where the Lord Jesus Christ boiled the Ten Commandments down to 2. Which are still not posted in the courthouse or in any other place. Because the end of the commandment is love. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like." It's about the same thing. "Namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And I went on to point out the commandment, the end of the commandment of God is love. Singular. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will not have time for sin. He'd be busy. Wouldn't even have the inclination for it if I could do it. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you won't lie. You won't blaspheme. Or you won't teach the tradition of men in place of the commandments. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will know love. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will love your neighbor as yourself. I wish I could. I wish I could. To my knowledge, I've only known one man who did. Jesus Christ. That's it. But I would like to love God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. I would like to love my neighbor as myself. Some days I would prefer just to like my neighbors. I do not want to kill or steal or covet or commit adultery or bear false witness. I'd like to honor my father and mother. But I cannot love my neighbor as myself until I love God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. And I can't. These Pharisees and scribes couldn't either. And they didn't want to love God. That's why they rejected God's commandment for their tradition. The traditions of men are not about the love of God. Now, I mentioned a bit of this last week, and Walter and I spoke about it. These fellas thought they kept the commandments. One of them fellas, it was a rich young ruler, came to see Christ, and he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" First of all, Christ said, "Why do you call me good? None's good but God." And if you look at the rest of that little incident, he never calls him good again. So he probably didn't know who he was talking to, which is nothing new because nobody did for the most part. Christ told his disciples he was God. They didn't believe him. But he told him, he says, "Keep the commandments." He said, "Lord, this I've done since my youth." And I still like what Henry Mahan said about that when he quoted the scripture. He said, "Give me something hard to do." Paul spoke at one time and said, where concerning the law, he was blameless. He didn't say he was sinless. He said he was blameless. But then when the commandment came, and he learned that thou shalt not covet, that covers thoughts. That doesn't cover necessarily, it may cover actions, but that governs what goes on in your mind. That's a sin. And that's what Christ is getting to right here. He said he was blameless. He didn't say he was sinless. They may offer the sin offerings, but they did not think they were in violation of the law. The Ten Commandments, anyway. Oh, they honored their father and mother. Christ said, "Oh, yeah, do you?" He goes on, "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free." You're trying to bypass taking care of your parents by their tradition. The traditions of men are not about the love of God. The tradition of men tries to make of none effect the word of God. Christ's words, not mine. That's serious. That's deadly serious. In verse 13 of Mark 7, it says, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." That's twice he told them they did a lot of things like that. I think he meant it. I believe that Christ meant what he said. He said it in verse 8. And he then again turned around and said in verse 13, "Many such like things do ye." They still do. Men still do this today. And the reason they do many things such like this is the old adage is true. One thing leads to another. Christ told these men that they were wrong, and he told them they were wrong in many things. because one thing leads to another. Or as Paul wrote it, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. That's what Christ was teaching here. If you start with a false premise, a false beginning, everything you do after that is going to be false. Because you're starting here. Let's just throw out that easy one, free will. You believe man's got a free will and he can choose right or wrong, he can choose God or not, even though the scripture states the direct opposite. Everything you do after that is going to be wrong. And matter of fact, the farther you go, the wronger it gets, even though that is bad English. Because you're starting with a false premise. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Through their traditions, they would, if they could, make the word of God of none effect. Now, one thing can be said for certain from this. Their tradition was not the word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with washing your hands before eating. It's hygienic. It's good before even handling food. It could keep you from having a terrible sickness. But the reason behind this is what Christ knows. And this is what he gets to here. These men believed and taught that if you ate without washing your hands, you would defile yourself. That's the whole point. Something from without, they would eat it without washing their hands, they would defile themselves. Christ said they were wrong. All of the traditions of men that I know of, I thought of a bunch of them, that's the basic premise of them. Because if you do this, you defy yourself. That's it. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't chew. If you do, you defy yourself. That's what it is. Christ said they were wrong. I'm not saying this stuff's right. But they thought they defiled themselves by what they put in. And that's wrong. If you watch TV or go to the movies, you'll defile yourself. If you drink liquor, smoke cigarettes, or eat pork, you defile yourself. For some, if you have caffeine, you defile yourself. If you wear pants or short dresses or cut your hair, you defile yourself. What was Earl talking about? Some of them folks, if they had zippers, or had buttons instead of hooks and eye? Oh, it was the end of the world. No, it's not. There are a million of these things from every religion that there is. If you walk too far or pull a cow out of a ditch on the Sabbath, you defile yourself. No. No and no. Man is born defiled. Man is born depraved. trying to make of none effect the Word of God. If you think you're holy, or if you think you're good, and that eating with unwashed hands is going to defile you, you got another thing coming. That's wrong. The Pharisees and scribes did not understand that they were defiled. They didn't eat pork chops back then. Or any unclean thing. I'm going to tell you something, that didn't help. And they may have brought sacrifices for sin on the appropriate days and give them to the priest in the appropriate manner with what the priesthood they had back then, Mason. That didn't help. They didn't know it, but it still didn't help. Christ said, it's not what goes in that defiles, it's what comes out defileth the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. You know what that means, right? If you don't have ears to hear, you ain't going to hear. You're not going to hear. Let him not hear. These hypocrites were teaching that what you put into yourself could defile you. Guess what? Ain't no different today. Paul wrote about it in his time after Christ. We're surrounded by churches that say, don't touch, don't taste, don't drink, don't go. Now, I'm not saying you should go anywhere, do anything you want, or anything else, for that matter. But it's not that that defiles you. Some places shouldn't be visited. Some things shouldn't be done. But going and doing don't defile. Going and doing are the result of being defiled. So is what you say, and so is what you teach. So is what you believe. It's a result of what's inside. For example, if you teach for doctrines the commandments of men, that reveals that you're defiled. If you're teaching the traditions of men in the place of the commandments of God, it's not a good sign. Now, that's just an example I maybe read somewhere. Mark chapter 7. If you want some specific examples, I got a few here. There is a certain denomination that teaches that baptism is necessary for salvation. Well, actually, there's two. And it's two different baptisms, Mason. Yesterday morning, I'm going to tell my wife here. Yesterday morning, I was sitting at the computer working on this sermon. My wife's in the kitchen watching the television, doing some stuff. So up pops the prequel to The Exorcist. And this poor little old demon boy, who's about half retarded, but then the demon takes him in and he becomes very eloquent. This priest has got to baptize that boy. And that demon is dead set against it. And he fakes him out. Because priests are stupid, you know. But you pour holy water on him and you get little welts on him and stuff like that. Then there's the other bunch from the denomination they call the Church of Christ, where they teach that salvation is not complete until you're baptized. Wrong. Salvation was complete 2,000 years ago. Salvation was complete when Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again and took the offering, the one offering, for sin forever to the Father, and it was accepted. Salvation was accomplished that day.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with baptism. Other than the answer of a good conscience toward God. But if you teach that baptism is necessary for salvation, whichever kind, where you sprinkle a baby or a retarded boy possessed by the devil, or whether or not you're dunking human beings, fully grown adults, that's a tradition of men. It's not a commandment of God from the Scripture. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God, which means you kind of have to have the good conscience before the baptism. Where are you going to get that from? God. It is not, baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, whether it's a baby or an adult. Excuse me. Only believers, those already having been given eternal life, have a good conscience toward God. There's another Paul writes about, talks about those who are command to abstain from certain meats. And there still are. Because not only the Jews don't eat pork, or not supposed to eat pork, Muslims aren't either. And in India, you can't even kill a cow, much less eat one. They're wandering around in the street. They're commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath given, to be received with thanksgiving. I think that's the commandment of God, not the abstaining part. Paul wrote this going on 2,000 years ago. And it's still out there today. When I was growing up, it was a big thing. You couldn't eat, you weren't supposed to eat meat on Fridays if you're Catholic. You're supposed to like abstain from meat as a little bit of fasting. You could have fish. Because somehow, I don't understand it, but somehow fish is not meat. Now explain that, I don't know. And I hate fish. And we had Mrs. Paul's fish sticks or whatever, you know, when I was growing up. Every Friday. That's the tradition of men. God didn't have anything to do with that. God created those meats to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. That's us. Now, it sort of seems to suggest, though, that those who command people to abstain from certain meats don't believe and know the truth. Something to think about, anyway. Paul wrote this. He wrote it because it was true. It was true, it is true, and it will be true. There are those, he talked actually at the same verse, that forbid to marry. Dumb old shakers. It's kind of hard to grow a religion when you preach against procreation and marriage. Now, they didn't forbid it, but they really didn't encourage it, and they didn't like it. Catholics are still doing the same thing with their priests. Paul stated it's better to marry than to burn. Marriage is a type or a figure of the mystery of Christ and His church. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hebrews 13:4. I got to think about it. The Old Testament priesthood was made up of the sons of Levi. Now, in order to have sons, you're going to have a wife first. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been any more priests. Matter of fact, the service in the tabernacle was a whole bunch of brothers. They're all family, relatives, the sons of Levi. Brothers were together in the tabernacle and performed their services in that type of Christ, which was the tabernacle. So did fathers and sons. Another tradition of men. Now, it's time. We'll go ahead and take a break now. I was looking at the clock. That's about to get wound up too. That's all right. We'll continue this on in just a minute here. We'll take a break. Come back.